Hi, welcome to the Ancient Greek Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Smith.
I'm Ashlyn Basie.
And I'm Danny Collins.
And today we will be talking about what ancient Greece was like, Alexander the Great, the Hellenistic culture that came with him, Athens and Sparta, and the Persian and Peloponnesian Wars.
And speaking of Greece, this episode is sponsored by Chobani Greek Yogurt. It has the creamy texture of yogurt we all know and love, and the rich flavor of fresh fruit. Yogurt. I'm going to go get some.
Okay then, moving on.
Starting at the first Greek civilization, they were the Minoans, who lived in 2000 to 1400 BCE. They were peaceful people who randomly disappeared in 1400 BCE. I wonder what happened to them. By 1600 BCE, they were replaced by a group called the Mycenaeans. These people were warrior kings who lived in luxury and fought wars. They disappeared soon after the Trojan War.
How are all these people disappearing?
I have literally no idea. So at this point, another group of people called the Dorians moved in, and let's say they weren't the smartest bunch. Civilization and advancement came to a standstill. There's no written record from this time.
Heh, dumb. This has nothing to do with yogurt.
City-states soon started appearing. At first, their governments were mostly monarchies. Then they adopted aristocracies. Sorry, guys. Some city-states also formed oligarchies. Other areas became representative governments or democracies.
So, besides government, what did these city-states have in common?
Well, they all spoke Greek. Surprising, I know. They had the same religion and also enjoyed watching the Olympics and dramas.
And then the Persians invaded their way of life and changed history forever. In 520 BCE, Darius the king of Persia invaded all the small islands of Greece. The Persians destroyed the revolt and decided to take down Athens. The Athenians then met Persians at Marathon. Athenians were outnumbered by the Persians.
This couldn't have gone well for Athens, right?
Actually, it did. Athens won the battle because of Persia's lack of training. However, after his father Darius's death, King Xerxes vowed to avenge Persia's defeat. At the Battle of Thermopylae, the giant Persian army crushed Greek forces. Athenians turned to fighting in the sea. They defeated the Persian navy and won the Persian War.
Okay, so as you may have noticed, Athens was full of free thinkers and well-educated people.
They must have had a lot of time on their hands.
Oh, they did. They spent most of their time just sitting around thinking about stuff. This is where philosophy came from. Three of the most important Athenian philosophers were Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. We'll get back to them later. Back to the culture of Athens. They were a democracy of citizens, aka only free Athenian men. These men spent their days discussing government, philosophy, and businesses.
What a bunch of nerds.
Women, on the other hand, were considered housewives who shouldn't be seen or heard.
Well, that's degrading.
Yeah, slaves weren't allowed to vote either, and they accounted for a third of the population. So what was originally seen as a fair and just government really wasn't. Because of the large amount of slaves in Athens, there were a lot of civil wars between the rich and the poor. After a while, a guy named Solon was appointed to fix them. He outlawed debt slavery, allowed more people to be involved in the government, and made many political and economic reforms. But after he died, Athens went straight back to the way it originally was.
So they basically didn't learn from their past.
Exactly. Athens wouldn't return to power until after the Persian Wars. Okay, now on to the most prominent city-state at the time, Sparta. They were the military state, which was very different from other Greek city-states at the time. Spartans were taught that the state came before the individual. Men lived in the military barracks from the ages of 7 to 65. They were considered the toughest warriors in Greece.
Dang. Well, were the women treated the same in Sparta as in Athens?
Actually, no. Women in Sparta had a lot more freedom than anywhere else in Greece. They did usually manage the household, but they were allowed to leave the house and play sports and physical activities. Slaves called helots did a lot of the housework and worked in fields and farms.
It's helots. And what about their government?
Sparta's government consisted of an assembly of adult males of Spartan ancestry who owned all land, and an elected group called the Council of Elders, who created laws for the assembly to vote on. There were also two kings to oversee the military. Now that we know a little more about the city-states of Athens and Sparta, Damon is going to tell a little bit more about the Peloponnesian War.
After the Persian War, Athens created the Delian League with other surrounding city-states. Athens enjoyed what's considered a golden age from 480 BCE to 430 BCE. This guy named Pericles ruled at the time. He created a navy. This led to Sparta creating the Peloponnesian League, which had a way better army than Athens, but a worse navy.
Wow. So these two city-states really didn't like each other.
Exactly. By 431 BCE, tension rose between them to the point that Sparta declared war on Athens. They surrounded the whole of Athens, burnt their crops, and controlled the whole land around the area. Athens continued receiving shipments of food from sea, which they largely controlled.
Cutting off their food supply, slightly morbid.
In the second year of the war, Athens was hit with a plague.
Well, this can't go well.
It didn't. Over half the populations of Athens died. Athens eventually recovered, but never really went back to its original strength. They surrendered around 404 BC, after 27 years of war. By the end of the war, Greece was extremely weakened. The population and food supply decreased, and there was a large distrust of other city-states and democracy in general.
Poor Athenians. Oh, in 356 BCE, Alexander the Great was born. Of course, at this time, he was not referred to in that way. His father, Philip, who was the king of Macedonia at the time, had Aristotle tutor Alexander. Alexander did many great things in his early years. He had control of the Macedonian cavalry when he was 16, and was an exceptional warrior in general.
Maybe that's why they called him Alexander the Great. Before then, he was, I guess, Alexander the Average.
Probably. Although he was not the best son. He had a fight with his dad and was exiled. Many historians think that Alexander later killed his father when he was invited to his sister's wedding. He quickly became king.
That was cold blood.
Yeah, there were many rebellions because of that, but Alexander stopped those by burning down one of those city-states that rebelled. How was he great again?
By 334 BCE, he attacked Persia, and by 332 BCE, he conquered most of the Persian Empire.
Wow, did he engage in any war?
Well, yes, actually. He then conquered Egypt and became their pharaoh, and he also founded Alexandria after himself, and that city became one of the greatest cities in the ancient world. 12 more Alexandrian cities were founded after that. After all that, he had his eyes set on India, and even marched into their deserts, but eventually decided to give up. After 11 years of fighting and winning, he finally died of a fever.
That is a lot of accomplishments. No wonder he was Alexander the Great.
Yeah, he also brought a whole new culture with him. Well, it was more of a mix of Greek, Egyptian, Persian, and Indian cultures. This became known as the Hellenistic culture. It spread to the many cities that he founded, and they had many advancements, such as a new understanding of astronomy, mathematics, philosophy. I was like, physiology, and I was like, that's not right. Philosophy and art.
So the things that we are forced to study today.
Well, Archimedes estimated pi, for example, invented the compound pulley and did many other things. And in their astrology, they learned that the sun is bigger than the earth, and that the earth is not, and that the earth is in the middle of this universe. Well, that's not necessarily true, but you see what I mean. and their art and sculptures were created to be more realistic.
And what about their philosophy?
Well, there were some philosophers who created two new ways of living. One of them was called Stoicism, I believe, which was created by Zeno. It believed that a divine power controlled everything, and that people should live in harmony, and that people should avoid human desire, and that seems a little hard. The other was called Epicureanism, something like that, which was founded by Epicurus, probably. This belief thought that the universe was composed of atoms ruled by the gods who shared no interest with humans. Their main goal was to achieve harmony with their body and mind.
All right, that's all, folks. Stay tuned for the next podcast from us, the Ancient Greek Podcast.